Hello, everybody. This is Jason Peebles, the founder of World Outreach Ministries, and this is another one of our victory videos designed to strengthen and encourage your walk in Christ. In a moment, we're going to look at this powerful subject that we've been pursuing in the last two sessions called Strength Beyond Your Own. So if you missed the last two sessions, you're going to want to go back and catch it. This is part three, Strength Beyond Your Own. In a moment, we're going to jump right into that. I know it'll help you. I want to stop and thank you, those of you who support your missionary. I can't thank you enough. You know, we have missionaries all over the world. We're the home office. We do all their office stuff so they can focus on outreach, processing their support from their friends like you, putting the money in the bank, doing reports for them, sending out letters. I mean, there's just a variety of things that has to be done, but they all have one thing in common. That is they depend upon the prayers and support of their friends. So I want to thank you for supporting your missionary. By the way, if you're a missionary watching this and you're in need of a dependable home office and you're tired of people letting you down, maybe you tried volunteer help or a church that was doing it can't do it now. We see all types of scenarios. Then contact us. I'm going to put the address across the screen. Go to our website and then click on the tab that says Missionary Agency. And all the details are there on what we do for the missionaries we serve. And we would like to help you and serve you. All right, let's turn our attention now to this exciting subject. I just love studying about this. Strength Beyond Your Own. And as I said, this is part three. Strength Beyond Your Own. We've talked about two different types of Christian lives that you observe. There are so many Christians, I'd say the majority of Christians, who do really love God, but they're caught up in trying to do it in their own power, trying to do it all themselves. I've got to have so many quiet times a week, or I'm not pleasing God. I've got to go to church. I've got to get active in this department. I've got to tithe. I've got to do that. And all those things are good. But you know what? If you're basing your Christian life on works, you are going to be one frustrated individual. And so there's this realm of striving. I call it the Christian life of striving versus the Christian life of yielding and abiding. When you learn the secrets and the principles of abiding in Christ, yielding to the power of grace, yielding to the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. So it's not you, it's no longer I, but it's Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Now, I wish I could just, you know, visit you and lay hands on you and you would just get this. It doesn't happen that way. This is going to require you to study, to pray, and this type of material that I'm presenting today will certainly help you. But suddenly your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be so thankful that you're off of the treadmill of trying to do it yourself and not feeling like you're pleasing God to I am now watching God work through me. Here's a passage I'd like to go back to. We read it in our last session, but I want to just touch on it again before we look at new material. And it's out of Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 29. And this really summarizes what I'm talking about. It says, He gives power to the weak. You need to say amen to that. If you're like me, there's some areas in your life, some challenges that you just feel weak in. You feel like, wow, that's going to take a miracle to accomplish that. It says, He gives power to the weak. And to those that have no might, He increases strength. And that's what we're talking about, strength beyond your own. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so that in the original language where it says they that wait upon the Lord, it doesn't mean that they're just sitting around doing nothing. It says in another version, those that trust in Him, those who rely on Him, those who are dependent upon His strength, gets right back to what we're talking about. Instead of striving, you have this inner disposition of I'm depending on His ability and my focus is on what He can do, not what I can do, what He can do through me. It says they'll renew their strength. And then He gives us that great illustration of the eagle. And I'm sure you've seen this on a television program or the Discovery Channel, or maybe you've seen, actually an eagle soaring live and in person. I saw it. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And I've seen documentaries where these eagles are on this high precipice and they're sitting there and they are sensing the currents of the wind. They're waiting. And when they sense the current is right, they spread those massive wings and they literally mount up. They catch the current and they soar without flapping. I compare that to a chicken or a buzzard. They're flapping, jumping around in the dirt, jumping around in the dust. And there's so many Christians that are like that. They do love God. They're trying hard, but they're really not yielding. They haven't learned the secret of abiding, of yielding. It says, renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Don't you want that? I do. I want to have boundless energy for Christ. I want to be able to do what I'm supposed to do for the Lord. Those of you that have children, those of us that have children, I mean, we work hard raising children. It's not easy to build a family. You need the strength of the Lord to do that. Now, we talked in our last session that the trigger or the switch, hear me now, the trigger that's going to fire grace into your life or the switch that's going to turn the energy on is humility. And remember we talked about, we're not talking about religious humility. Get rid of that. Get rid of that. You know, some people think in order to be humble, you have to have the sad face and kind of carry your family Bible everywhere you go and dark clothes. No, we're not talking about outward stuff. We're talking about true humility, which is an inward, watch this, an inward disposition of trust and confidence in what He can do. Humility is when you say, I can't, but He can. I can't, but He can. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So when you feel like just tearing somebody's head off because of the way they've treated you, instead of going your own way, you yield and you let Christ operate through you. And suddenly you have the peace that passeth understanding. You have the fruit of the Spirit being exhibited where you had every right to maybe respond and retaliate. God says, no, go my way. And so you learn to yield versus striving, soaring versus just flapping. Now I want to kind of switch gears and go to Hebrews chapter 4 and talk about entering the rest of God, R-E-S-T, entering the rest of God. Because this is really what we're talking about. We're talking about developing a Christian life where you're resting in His ability instead of your own ability. And you know, you may be a very talented person. You may be someone who has really extraordinary talents. Could be in the realm of business. Some people are extraordinarily talented in the arts, music. But the danger of that is you begin to trust in your ability instead of turning it over to Christ and let Him turbocharge it, if I can use that illustration. Instead of you trusting in your ability, whether it's sports or art, or whatever it may be, business, making money, or whatever you think you're strong in. But some of you, I realize, you think, I'm not strong in anything. Well, you've almost got a head start on the others, and I'll explain that in a moment. But when you have abilities in your life, the danger is you're going to trust in those abilities. What you need to do is give those abilities to Christ and say, you know what, even on my best day, I can't come close to what You can do. Yes, He'll use your abilities once they're turned over to Him and empowered by Him, energized by Him, instead of you just flapping and trying in your own ability, your own power. Now, those of you who feel like you don't have any ability, hear me now. You need to say to yourself, you know, even on my worst day, when I don't feel valuable, I don't feel that I have any talents or abilities, even on my worst day, God's power is greater than all my discouragement. God's power is greater than all my depression. God's power can do what I know I can't do, and I'm going to trust in His ability. So you see, whichever way you're coming at it, you feel like you're greatly talented and blessed, or you feel like you're worthless, we all need to depend upon the ability of Christ, because He can do far more than we can. Now in Hebrews chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he talks about, and I don't want to read every verse, it's a little bit complicated, but he's comparing the Christian life to entering into the Promised Land. Do you remember in the Old Testament, the Promised Land? Joshua took them into the Promised Land. What was the Promised Land? Well, it was a bountiful land that God had given them. They went in and there were already vineyards. There was fruit abounding. There were houses. They were going to drive out the enemy and possess their homes. And God said, I'm going to give you homes that you didn't even build. I'm going to give you vineyards that you didn't even plant. And so God was enabling them to possess the promised land. Now, the Apostle Paul is kind of comparing that, watch this, to as a Christian, you need to learn to enter the promised land. Well, what is the promised land? The promised land is this area that we're talking about where you learn to yield, abide in Christ, live a Christian life that's dependent upon His ability and not your own. Yes, the promised land is heaven one day. But you know what? There's a lot of living to be done between now and the time we get to heaven. That really will be our promised land. But there's a promised land right now, and that's what the Apostle Paul is driving at in this passage. Let me just read a few verses, and I think you'll begin to catch this. Paul starts off in verse 1 and says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering into His rest, he said, it's still available. Let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it. So he's saying, hey, Christian, I'm going to paraphrase this. Christian, you could miss this. You could come short of this. There is a promise that we can enter into His rest. And you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss, well, what is that rest? He goes on and he says, he talks about how Joshua took them into the promised land. And it goes on to say, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains a rest for the people of God. So, if I can just paraphrase this in Jason Peebles' paraphrase, he's saying Joshua didn't fulfill the promise of the rest. And you can go all the way back to Genesis and have a really nice study on the subject of rest. It says God rested. Do you remember that? Rested on the that was the day that all the works were done and He rested. And just enjoyed what the creation was. Well, similarly, we need to learn how to rest where let God do His work and then we're resting and we're just enjoying what God's doing in our life. He goes on and he said, if Joshua had given them rest, if Joshua had fulfilled the reality of the rest, then they wouldn't be talking in Psalms about the rest. And there's, as I said, I don't want to read all of this because it gets a little complicated, but he also quotes out of the book of Psalms where David talked about the rest. So all the way from Joshua to David, to now here we are, and he's saying there's still this realm of rest that God is calling us to. He says, there remains therefore a rest unto the people of God. Now, if you're like me, I'm a definition person. I'm all, what is rest? I want to know what rest is. Well, here it is. Mark this in your Bible. If you're traveling or you don't have a way to take notes, use your phone if you need to, put notes in there. Or remember this verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. Hebrews 4, verse 10 is the definition of what is God's rest for the Christian. It says, for he that has entered his rest has ceased from his own works as God did from his. There it is, my friend. When you cease from your own works, what does that mean? You cease striving. You stop flapping so hard. You stop trying to do it all in your own power. You get out of Romans 7 over into Romans 8. Romans 7, Paul says, I want to do right. I don't seem to be able to do right. I want to obey God. I don't seem to be able to obey God. What I want to do, I don't do. I'm confused. I'm defeated. I'm summarizing. That's Romans 7, the defeated Christian life. He gets over into Romans 8, which is the solution. And he says, walk in the Spirit. That's the rest. So when you walk in the Spirit, you could say it a number of ways. Walk in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit live His life through you. The fruit of the Spirit through you. The gifts of the Spirit through you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. You may want to flap and go in that direction and God says, no, that's not for you. But Lord, it's a great opportunity. No. Because He can see the end maybe is destruction. You need to learn to be sensitive and obey God. Even when yourself and your own flesh would like to do its own thing, you learn to check yourself. No, I've learned a long time ago that God could do a whole lot more than me. I'd rather go God's way instead of go down that path and create a mess that I'm going to have to ask God to help me clean up. We've all been there. I've done it. You've done it. But he says, he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Isn't that awesome? And so all these illustrations we've used, the eagle mounting up versus the buzzard flapping, If you remember all the way back to session one, I used the bicycle illustration, the bicycle that had the motor on the front wheel, the electric motor. I saw this in another country. The guy was just going uphill just to getting it. He had his throttle, and it was an electric bike, and he was passing all the people just standing there pedaling. They were standing up using their body weight trying to get up that hill, and boy, he had the power. There you go. Cease from your own works and let God start living His life through you. Let God start drawing you. You know, I would encourage you, and I didn't plan on saying this, but I would encourage you, and I'll put this across the screen. There are some key passages you really ought to study. John chapter 15, awesome chapter on abiding in Christ, the abiding life, what I call the abiding life. You ought to study Romans 6, 7, and 8. Now, those are very difficult chapters, I will tell you. Romans 6, 7, and 8. But it's the key to victory. I had to read it and read it and read it and read it and reread it. And guess what? I'm still reading it and gleaning stuff out of it because that's the way the Word is. It's like levels of geology, just different layers, layers, layers. But I will tell you that you'll learn so much when you study these passages that I'm putting across the screen. Also, and that encourages me to segue into our Bible resources, we've got 400 hours of audio recordings, teachings, on all these subjects. And you can go in there and study these, and these are free from our website. Go to our website and find the section that says free Bible studies. There's videos, there's audios. It used to be audio tapes in the old days when I was going around doing seminars and conferences all over creation. I'm a pilot. I flew my airplane crisscrossing the United States for many, many years, decades, really. And we've got a lot of that recorded, but it's been digitized now. You can get it on our website free and listen to it right through your device. Isn't that amazing? We've also got study guides, and I want to mention a couple of study guides. No confidence in the flesh. Wow, that's really what we're talking about, not trusting in your own ability. And if you can see that, I don't know if you can see it. There's a guy trying to push a boulder up the hill. And you know we're all like that, trying to do it in our own power. So this is a good one. No confidence in the flesh. And then there's one on the subject of grace, a study guide on grace. Again, these are free. Go there, print these out, just print them on regular notebook paper, and then read them, study them, mark the verses, and you're going to take it so much further than what we've been able to do in this brief session. Well, I trust that these victory videos are an encouragement to you. That's why we do them. And I want to remind you, this is Jason Peebles, and I want to remind you, starve your doubts, feed your faith, and follow God's plan for your life.